be vacated.
Thank you both very much. A case is submitted, and we will have a decision out in a statutory timeframe. Thanks. Our next case on the calendar is file number A18-1348, which is Szymanski Metals Relator versus Goodhue County Board of Commissioners Respondent. Morning, Council. Each of you will have 15 minutes for your arguments. Council for appellant, 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. So go ahead and take the podium, and then when you're ready and have it adjusted and so on, just state your name and a party you represent for the record.
Good morning, judges, on this fine spring morning. Honorable counsel, to my right is Martin Noder of our office. My name's Patrick J. Kelly of Kelly and Lemons, representing Szymanski Metals. Well, we have sometimes I'd like to come in here and just say, do you have any questions? Because the briefs are pretty well briefed. You know your responsibilities on a review of the record, legally sufficient, and is there a reasonable basis on this? I think on approaching us, what I'd like to direct you, just so you kind of get the environment. Szymanski, the council spends about the first 10 pages of his brief talking about a salvage yard and recycling center. That's not before this court. That was not the application. The application was in May for a contractor's yard and a CUP. That's the application that was decided by the Planning Commission, 6-0, and eventually by the Board of Commissioners on a denial. But let's take a look at the property. The property is located on a major highway, 4-lane, 5,500 cars. It's zoned, and that's what I want you to look at. It's zoned B2, what we refer to business commercial. The Szymanskis could put a bar in there, they could put a motel in there, they could put a shopping center in there, they could put a car dealership in there, they could put a rental operation without any permits. And it's also zoned A2, which is an agricultural use. And you kind of look at the cases, and counsel cited Yang, and that's pretty much what this case is about. There's a use there. There is a permitted use, but they needed a conditional use permit for a contractor's yard, okay? And you look at the definition of the contractor's yard. It's for contracting-related services. They met all the conditions of that contractor's yard for a CUP. They met all those conditions.
Mr. Kelly, you mentioned about, you know, just diving into it. The thing that I think is most troubling from your argument is the Board of Commissioners finding number one. It seems like this gets down to a dispute of, yes, it was an application for a contractor's yard, but does it, the true use of it as found by the board, does it fall outside that and push it back into the salvage yard category? And, you know, they seem to say that in finding number one because of the storage of waste.
Let's backtrack, okay? When the planner reviewed the application on the contractor's yard, and you'll see it in the briefs, that they meet all the requirements.
Right.
Okay, we're there, okay? Then the application came in, the part of the application was for repair and housing of trucks and storage containers, putting containers. What we're kind of really vague on there is with the Planning Commission saying, you know, with the definition of a contractor's yard, and what Szymanski's were proposing was a temporary placement or what we refer to staging. And the commission, an hour and a half of hearings, went through this and said, you know what, they could do this because they could stage the equipment or the container, but it has to be removed the next business day. So it's not storage. If we get into the weeds about what is storage. It means a permanent placement of items and that nature.
But the material, if I understand, to be removed the next day was all going to be generated on the property, correct? It would not involve things brought in and stored temporarily.
That's really a good question, because that was Drodos, the commissioner that was leading the charge to deny, was saying, coming out with he's quoting MnDOT regulations. Well, this isn't under a MnDOT type project for storage. He said you can't take property and put it on there, and the terminology of using transit station. Transit station in a statute means that it's coming back, recompounding, and rearranging. But the question came in there, so he meets all the conditions on that, and they asked Mr. Szymanski, is saying, "What about this?" And he says, "Well, I guess I can't do it. It won't work for me on this." And you read the transcript, he doesn't say he can't do the conditional use permit. He said that particular purpose of placing the equipment on an overnight basis, that won't work. I understand that, so we won't do it. And if you read the record, he's talking about he had a placement for Red Wing where he could use that type of situation. He also indicated was an occasional use, not a daily use. Were you asked about the,
So for a contract, like I'll think of a contractor's yard as being, you know, you run a landscaping business or something, that's where you keep your equipment and you stage from there, like the stuff that you need to go out and do business. What makes this business, Szymanski Metals, different from essentially a junkyard or reclamation business? Aren't they going out and just getting metals from some other site, bringing them there, and then bringing them to the recycling site? Or what are they doing that's different?
The containers, and you see them when you drive down the street. You see the construction containers. And I'm going to answer your question, because we're talking about pollution and contaminants. Well, MPCA said, no, it's not. It's not that type of material. Szymanski's use the containers, right, and then they get a call to a job site. They take the container and take it to the job site.
So these are the big metal bins.
Those are the black, yeah.
Where you're sinking when you do your kitchen.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you got it. So what they do is that they go to the job site.
So a contractor hires them to come to the job
site
and get the debris.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And then they take it to the landfill, okay? And the reason why he's being very honest in his application. He could have just said, yeah, okay, it's going to be overnight. He said, occasionally we'll take an overnight because either it was a late call, get this out of here, we have a closing tomorrow or something like that, but I'll get it out the next business day. So
why isn't that a junk or salvage operation? That's what I might be missing. A contractor hires a junk or salvage company to come get the junk salvage. And then
it's not a salvage yard or a junkyard.
Okay.
It's just storage of containers, which is acceptable within in the definitions. That's a good question. But that's how they were really got sideways is for the first application when he applied for a salvage and a reclamation yard or a junkyard. And then when you read the record, they keep referring to that, but there's no connection at that point in time. He can do the building. He talks about all the repairs and everything else are inside the building. And the residents say, "Oh, there's going to be noise and there's going to be poundings." It's very clear that he's going to do all the repairs in the building, and the only thing activity outside is either a tire change or a replacement or part replacement. But all the activity is within the building. Where I think the questions by the court is then, well, if you bring stuff back, I guess that's the right word, bring stuff back and it's junk or, stuff, then you're operating a salvage yard. Well, he doesn't have to bring stuff back.
Okay, so he agreed not to keep it there, and that's what makes it.
Yeah, when we went to the Planning Commission, they discussed this, and they talked about contractor's yard, and in their discussion, they said, well, what is the definition? And Mr. Wozniak, the planner, you know, on his first recommendations, referred to it as a recycling and salvage yard. It must have been a mistake if you look at his suggested findings for denial. He prepared findings for approval and findings for denial. When we went to the hearing, the Planning Commission was June 18th. The commission hearing was June 19th. They said, look, the only thing we need is three additional things. We need a better site plan. We need a remediation from for soil and erosion. And we need a letter from MnDOT. Those are the three things. That's the first, that's June 19th. Those are the things we need. Samantha's go up, they get the remediation plan. The planner says it in his report. They get the site plan upgraded, and they get the letter from MnDOT Highway. And there was a big, some of the discussion was, well, you know, it's a dangerous intersection, and it's that. MnDOT studied it, and finally they wrote a letter saying, no, this is not a problem area.
Right, that continued to be kind of concerns of residents in the area.
Exactly, and that was a thing, and I know it's, when you're there, it was the concerns is the right word.
I want to go back to this other thing because I think it's the biggest issue. Wasn't one of the conditions no municipal solid waste, demolition debris, or recyclable materials may be stored on or transported to the property, either on a temporary or permanent basis? Only waste or recyclable material generated on site may be temporarily stored on site between scheduled trash and recycling pickup. Was that a condition?
That was a condition, and we agreed to it.
Okay. That seems to still be the essence of the denial.
But if you agree to in your background with conditional use permits, it's a permission to use property with reasonable and rational conditions. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a variance. It's an accepted use of that property with reasonable conditions.
And the Samanskys agreed to this condition.
At the end, they asked him, and that's where it really got confusing, because this is Commissioner Drodos is throwing out all types of stuff and that's my comment, undermine it. But when you read
But they agreed to it.
Yeah, they said, we're not going to do it. If you're saying, if this is not, you know, I guess that eliminates that area of this conditional use permit.
So, but isn't that in contrast to your earlier argument where if it were at, you know, the end of the day and they have this container, they've got to return to the property and put it there overnight?
And that's what was before the Planning Commission. This is where it gets, on the record, it gets a little confusing because planning commissioners who are charged with interpreting and reviewing and taking all the public testimony understood or seemed to believe that they could do a temporary basis was not a site used for storage, maintenance, and staging of vehicles, equipment, and materials related to contracting work in any building trades, landscaping, road building, sewer installation, transport, and hauling. That's a contractor's yard definition. In the beginning, they go, yeah, okay, we'd like to do that. That's what he said. We'd like to keep it, like, overnight in case they shut the yard, you know, we get the call. But he has no problem. If that's a condition, and we stated it in our brief, saying, hey, you can't do that, that's not a problem.
Okay, so you asked for permission for temporary storage if necessary. Became obvious that was a problem. You said, well, we don't need it. We'll forego that so we can have our contract.
That's right on point.
So then the question for the county becomes, well, if they're agreeing there will be no storage of off-site debris, why no permit?
That's why we're here.
Okay.
Does it make sense?
It does.
Okay.
But I do think the record is muddled.
Oh, okay. The record is, last night, you know, you're reading the record again in the transcript, which I know you people do too, and I'm reading it and I'm going, like, this is, you know, even on the motions, you know, by the county, to at least planning commission discussed each item, because you could see it in their findings. And I'm not criticizing, but when you looked at the county, they couldn't even get the motion right, you know, on the denial, because one commissioner, and it's not a reflection, just an impression I had, was this isn't going to happen. this isn't going to happen. They're violating Minnesota law. I went out there and there's a pollution issue. They never got the permit. Well, that comes, the permits come in, you know, if you do distribute more than an acre land. Oh, they're past violators. Well, they didn't. The minute the county wrote to them, they stopped, and they were using that.
Mm-hmm. They had a cease and desist order.
Yeah. Right. But, these people are out of Goodhue County, good people, and they're trying to do what is right. And the minute they got a notice on that, they stopped. And they said they were staring. They're also farmers. So they were staring, you know, ag use. But I think what you get at it, too, that when you're looking at it, look at the prior use, Skyline Ballroom and Supper Club. And you talk about that area that says, well, it's going to disturb the tranquility or the rural atmosphere. I get some of that, but the prior uses and the uses according to the zone are okay.
Where does that leave you? I mean, some of the other reasoning was that this isn't consistent with our broad plan for how this land might be used. So, okay, even if you are willing to do everything they've set down as a condition, what do you say to that response?
Yeah, when you look at it on the cases indicate, and Justice Anderson talked about land use plans that are supposed to be guidance, right? In the brief and in the transcript, that question came up with Wozniak. You know, what is the use for that? And his answer is, well, I don't know, there's commercial here, and I guess it would be nice for residential, but we don't have anything in our land use plan that, and he uses the term digging into, you know, what type uses are proper. So, you know, you're saying, well, it's not, they don't have plans for it, and they don't have, and you look around there, there's 62 acres, 32 acres land all around them. There's no set land use other than being zoned for B2 commercial use, which is a proper permitted use.
Okay. Thank you, Council. You'll have time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Council for respondent.
May it please the court, counsel, Jason Kubuschek on behalf of Goodhue County. The county is requesting the court affirm its decision denying the conditional use permit. I will, similar to Attorney Kelly, I'm not going to get into the specific facts. I think the facts are laid out quite well in the brief. Standard review, obviously if there is a rational basis for the county's decision based upon the evidence on the record, we'd ask the court to give deference to the county and uphold that decision. The central question, as the court identified, is this contractor's yard and whether or not the proposed use by Szymanski Metal fits within this or does it step outside that bounds due to the storage of materials on the site.
But if they've said, okay, we won't store any materials on the site,
well,
that's what they're claiming their position was below, that they agreed that that would be a condition they would live with.
And I think it's interesting that I'm hearing that because if you look at the Planning Commission transcript, and this is an administrative record 469, they talk about the needing to storage of the containers at the end of the day on the site, to store them overnight or over the weekend. So at the Planning Commission stage, they're saying we need to store them. And that's when, as Judge Hulbrichs pointed out, we've got the findings where we had the condition that it was, you know, the first time the Planning Commission set forth its findings, finding number 10 was no solid waste debris, recyclable materials may be stored on site. Only materials generated on site may be temporarily stored, such as trash or recycling from the site. The Planning Commission then, after discussion, changed that finding, and it's the amended finding number 8, where they said that they would allow it on a temporary basis as long as within a building or a storage container. We then get to the county board meetings, and in the staff report to the county board, the June 19th staff report, they talk about that the definition of contractor's yard does not allow any type of storage of waste, recycling, and material. I mean, that's administrative record 545. So the staff's saying what the finding proposed by the Planning Commission is not allowed under the contractor's yard. So then they have the discussion, and this is where the county board did question Mr. Zeminski regarding what he was going to do. And when you look at the transcript, administrative record 736 to 737, the line of questions starting on line 20 is, if it's that inclusive that you cannot bring any of it in, how does that affect your business and your plan that you're expecting to do with the parcel? Mr. Zeminski says, if we cannot bring in any part of dumpsters on occasion and take them out, that pretty much eliminates the use of the property for that adventure. So he's telling
the question there is, what does that adventure mean? That's what if that's the sentence that we're looking at, which is the only one I was aware of, do they mean we can't do this, that kills our plan, or does it mean we can't
that's,
do that?
And that was the question, and that's what the county board had to weigh out. And the county board weighed it as that adventure meeting in the contractor's yard. That's how they interpreted that evidence at that time, and why they said that this doesn't fit within the definition of a contractor's yard, because he's telling us without the ability for temporary storage, whether it be overnight or over the weekend, he can't proceed with his proposed use. And so that's how the county board interpreted it. That's why they made that finding, and it ties directly into finding number one. At the end of finding number one, they said, you know, it doesn't meet the definition of a contractor's yard.
So it wasn't really, well, I guess from your perspective, it wasn't that there was a condition that was proposed that was rejected or agreed to, is what opposing counsel says. It's just saying, no, your application doesn't meet the requirement of a contractor's yard. I mean, is that sort of the different lens that you have on it? And so
therefore
it was reasonable to reject it because the application on its face doesn't permit it? Or
I would view it as the Planning Commission, which is the recommended authority, had a proposed condition that would allow temporary storage. Staff highlighted to the county board, that's not allowed. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. And so the county board looked at it, incorporated it into his findings that if an integral part of this project is you need temporary storage, it's not allowable use. We cite to the Sunrise Township case in there that you can't issue a CUP for a use that's not allowed. And so therefore, that was ties into finding of fact number one, that they denied it on that basis.
So the board did not adopt, well, didn't have a obviously didn't agreed with the staff that that's not a condition that could be placed.
Correct.
They temporary agreed. Storage.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so they never got into then
no storage as a condition. They just said it's not an allowable.
Correct.
To store.
Correct. It's not allowable. If he's telling us it's an integral part of the business, and that's how the board interpreted that statement, they had to deny it because they couldn't allow a use that was an integral part of the business. Tied in also to that first finding of fact, and there were five findings of fact, but the first one, staff noted that there's, in its reports, that there's issues with regard to the compatibility of the neighborhood. And I think even we look again at the testimony at the this was at the June 18th meeting, administrative record 459. They talk about the county's comprehensive plan. And one of the objectives in this area is to ensure that new and expanded commercial, industrial uses are consistent and compatible with the county's natural environment, quality of rural living, and needs of the county residents. So there, staff saying, we've got a problem with compatibility. There's evidence here that it's not supported by our comprehensive plan.
And there would be a compatibility issue even if it were a proper contractor's yard with no on-site storage temporarily of debris.
I think that certainly would be adequate, yes. I think we've had citizen testimony. Now, I know that...
Why is that a valid basis if it's zoned for a contractor's yard?
It is a contractor's yard is only allowed by conditional use. It's not an automatically permitted. So then you go through the factors and you look at from conditional use permits, is it a compatibility issue with the surrounding neighborhood, the surrounding residents? And we'd say that if you look at the comprehensive plan for this area and the general goals of the county, it's consistency for new and expanding businesses to be consistent with the surrounding residents and the rural living or situation. And based upon the evidence presented to the county board and at the planning commission level, it was determined it did not meet that level. We also have...
Can I just, sure. You know, how does that square with the idea, and part of it is the two zones that might make it confusing, but you know, the argument that opened this, that you could have put lots of businesses there, a car dealership, or this or that, you know, respond to that.
I think that...
Why are those compatible and this would not be compatible?
The county is faced with a situation where that zoning does allow some of those uses set forth by Attorney Kelly. And they, you know, try to make it as compatible as they can with the surrounding residents. When you get to a conditional use permit or a business that relies upon a conditional use permit, there's more discretion to the county to determine whether or not it meets with these residents. It allows you a greater look at it than you would if it's something that's already permitted. And so it's through that kind of tighter lens, the more discretionary lens, that the county is able to tie in the comprehensive plan and say, does this really meet, you know, with our goals of the comprehensive plan? So I think that's
right. I understand the lens you go at it, but it seems harder to argue that it's incompatible if those types of businesses are actually permitted, right? What makes it so different, essentially? How is it incompatible with those other types?
If you'd have look at it, I don't know if it's based upon the some of the environmental effects, maybe it's the traffic. I mean, those items weren't discussed at the meeting. I think it's a factor the county can look at and did here. Is it the sole determining factor? It may or may not be.
I'm just having a hard time understanding how what they're proposing for a contractor's yard is much different than any automobile sales or service center, a motor fuel station, so it's like an SA, I suppose, an agricultural equipment sales or service facility, any truck sales or service, truck wash or truck repair garage. I mean, how is that any different than a contractor's yard? And I mean, if those things are permitted, it's difficult to understand why what they're proposing, so long as they comply with the strict requirements of what a contractor's yard has to be, is inconsistent with the permitted usage.
And the county did not get into the specific kind of weighing back and forth between what is permitted and what isn't permitted.
Could it be that the county just thought, well, you know, the applicant just conceded they're not going to be able to comply, their business won't run without this concession, we're not going to make the concession, so the end of story. Maybe another look should be taken from the perspective, well, if they were to do it without any off-site storage, is it that much different from these permitted uses?
I think it's fair the county did look at first, you know, them admitting that they need the temporary storage, whether it's overnight or over the weekend, and that kind of ended it. They also looked at other factors. You know, they didn't specifically compare it to these other permitted uses.
Well, I mean, the findings of fact for denial don't really do any sort of comparison with the, it just says this is inconsistent with our grand plan without really examining, well, how all of these other things that look a lot like this are consistent and are allowed.
Correct. I would agree with that.
So it might just be that the procedural posture resulted in a pretty limited explanation of the decision. I can see, given the testimony you quoted, why the government thought, well, there's no need to go any further if they're conceding they can't do business under these terms.
Right. And I think that's the route we went. I do think also, though, to support the findings regarding this access into Highway 58 from the township road, there was a lot of testimony, and it's more than just speculative testimony. It was testimony from Patrick O'Neill from across the street, specifically talking about using that corner three or four times a day. It's a nightmare. They talked about visibility issues, and that's at 482 and 483 of the record. You also had Mr. Reed testifying and showed photographs of the intersection, the difficulty of that intersection with the turn lanes and trucks. That's at 474. So there's certainly some concrete citizen input, real-life scenarios, having dealt with that crossing, that would support it. Now, the the issue was brought up that, well, MnDOT gave it its blessing, therefore it must be good. I would make the analogy, this court previously in the August versus Chisago County case, 868 Northwest 2nd 741, that was a shooting range case. And in that case, there was a complaint raised about the noise from the shooting range. And the applicant said, well, we meet all the MPCA guidelines regarding noise, therefore you have to grant us the conditional use permit. And this court upheld the denial of the conditional use permit, saying, even though you meet the MPCA guidelines, if there's still concerns and concrete concerns from neighbors regarding noise and the effect that it'll have on them, it's reason enough for a denial. And I think that same analogy can be made here with respect to the traffic. When you've got concrete evidence regarding the traffic from people that are dealing with that intersection on a daily basis, even though MnDOT says, yeah, we think that intersection will work.
Well, they specifically looked at that, though. I mean, that's one of the interesting things here. I mean, the MnDOT said, didn't they, in their letter, that they had looked at this, the turn issue, and concluded that it was not significant?
I think, as I look at that letter, interpret that letter, and it may be a different interpretation than MnDOT, but MnDOT's concern was the specific driveway onto Hay Creek Drive mm-hmm. from this property. Even though it's coming onto a township road, it's still in the MnDOT right-of-way. And so that's why MnDOT was able to weigh in on the driveway access issue.
Sure.
And they felt, based upon the distance from Highway 58 to this driveway, there was adequate distance there for trucks to come in to get off of Hay Creek. And that's how I think they viewed it. I'm not so sure they looked at site distances. I didn't pick up on that from the letter. Maybe it could be interpreted a different way, but I think the citizens' complaints have to do with site distances and what happens when you have a large vehicle in one lane. Are you able to see in the other lane? There's some visibility issues there. So I think that's the concern raised by citizens and considered by the county. I think that we would rely upon our briefs for the unless there's any other questions, but otherwise, we'd ask the court to affirm the county board's decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Rebuttal?
Yes, please. Thank you. Thank you, counsel. The MnDOT Department of Transportation, correct, they did a study on it, and they have control of that because the access is on MnDOT property. That's on Bates Stamp 0381. The letter speaks for itself. They even in the letter said, we've answered. Call us if you have concerns, you know, the citizens, because they were calling them. The interesting question dealing with is looking at the transcript.
So my question is, what is there in the record that indicates your client, upon hearing, you know, concerns about temporary storage, said, we don't need that. We still would like our cup without that concession. Is there something in the record?
Yeah, that's a good question. In addressing the Council's referring to an integral part of the business, the storage or the temporary staging of the container was on an occasional basis. He said, and not a regular basis, number one. It's not an integral part because it's only on a temporary basis. The second question is, and this is the one that's troubling on the record, because when you read it, you can see it starting to escalate by one commissioner. The Mansky stated, and it's at, if we cannot bring in part dumpsters on occasions and take them out, that pretty much eliminates the use of that property for that adventure. So that would basically, you know, and the interpretation is, okay, we're not going to do it. We can't, you know, and the confusion was, I could see his confusion on some of this, is that we went through this with the Planning Commission. Planning Commission heard all the testimony, heard all the evidence, heard all the letters about traffic concerns. They heard all that. And they had this debate whether or not under a contractor's yard, this is storage. In the contractor's yard, when you look at their definition, starts out at storing of materials. So in answer to your question is, yeah, they couldn't do it for that part of the adventure, but it doesn't kill the project. It doesn't kill the use.
Because what I'm wondering is, did the government err by not, you know, considering more fully whether the proposed use without any temporary storage would be consistent with construction
I agree with
site
that.
And future use and permitted uses. That's what's lacking. I wonder, you know, do we fault them for doing that if they were told, well, you don't want to try to do this without temporary storage, or should they have done more? That's what I'm wondering.
It's simple on going back to the city attorney days that you just put a condition in there, no temporary storage, because you had the confusion from the Planning Commission saying you could do it.
But is the government obligated when a application has something that makes it unallowable, is it obligated to impose a condition and then grant it? If a condition that actually is contrary to what's in the application, what makes that, you know, what, arbitrary and capricious to not do that, to just not say no?
The issue and the undercurrent is this, that going through the process with the Planning Commission, okay, the Planning Commission looks at that and they have a different interpretation. So you go into this hearing and you think, well, okay, you know, we got a 6-0 vote that says that we can do a temporary staging of the material. So from in a Planning Commission saying that you can do it, okay? And then you go on June 19th and they say, well, we only have three issues. Soil erosion, again, a clarification from the Highway Department. And that's it. And then July 24th, all heck breaks loose. And what he says is, okay, and maybe he should have been clear. It wasn't a public hearing. It wasn't, you know, something that would come up. It was just like, well, what about this? Well, I don't think we can do it for that part of the adventure. Okay.
And then conversation stopped.
And
it
that
seems
stopped,
like it stopped.
Stopped,
too soon.
Stopped right there, yeah. So, thanks for your time. Have a good week, I think.
Thank you. Thank you.